Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We had a couple of readings. The first one is the one from which my text is drawn, or my sermon is drawn, and briefly reviewing Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us, or Moses tells the people of Israel, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you. The Lord is giving a commandment. He gives it several times in this passage. He stresses, so you shall keep my commandments, that you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And then he gives the good news. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water and fountains and springs flowing out of the valleys and into the valleys and from the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are of iron and out of the hills you will dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Let's take the bad news first. Right from the beginning, God gives, through Moses, his people a command. And he gives us one too. He says, I command you to do. We'll see what, but from the moment we encounter those words, we should cringe. What is he commanding us in these verses? What did he command his people then, and what does he command now? He says, I command you to be careful to remember the whole way that I led you, so that you shall keep the commandments of the Lord. Of course, he's speaking of the Ten Commandments. And of course, you and I cannot keep them. Now, out on the college campuses and in my office and in many locations, I've had many discussions, many times with good Christian brothers, not atheists, and they will say that God would not give us rules knowing that we could not keep them. And I say to them, nonsense. Since the fall of man, men have been unable to live righteous lives. We're told by David in the Psalms that the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who act wisely, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. They have all become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Solomon repeats this in Ecclesiastes, saying, surely there's not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. And in the New Testament, Paul repeats this in Romans 3 and adds to it, saying, their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of snakes is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Pretty grim picture, would you not agree? God said for the Israelites and us to remember all that he had done in our lives. Remember the country that he provides for us, the families that he provides to nurture us, the roofs over our heads, the food we eat, the clothes that we wear, the churches that we worship in, the cars that we drive, and in fact, the very air that we breathe. Therefore, in all humility, we give thanks to Him on this day of Thanksgiving. We give thanks to those who care for us. We thank Him for those people that He has placed in our path. We thank Him for those we love and for those who love us. I thank Him for people like you who have loved me, who have prayed for me, who have given generously to me, who have enabled me to go to seminary, who helped sustain me in times of trouble and celebrated with me in times of blessing and in times of plenty. So we are told to remember and then to keep His commandments. But why does God give us commandments to keep if He knows that we cannot live up to them? Why does He set standards that are impossible for us to achieve? Well, there's three reasons. If you remember your catechism, you can come up with them yourself. First, to provide us a mirror, to provide us a curb, and to provide us a guide. He provides the commandments so that we might appreciate the salvation He provided to the Israelites through the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, who guided them by the pillar of fire by day, or by a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night, getting that twisted around, and to us through the Jesus Christ who was born, crucified, died, and resurrected for you and for me. He provides the commandments so that our evil natures may be constrained somewhat. He provides the commandments so that we, knowing the salvation that He has provided for you and for me, by grace in spite of our deeds, so that no one can boast, so that we might aspire to respond to His love with our obedience. But all of this law, all of these commands are bad news, because by them we are condemned. Fortunately, praise be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He goes on to say that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The Word, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, tells us the answer to the question, what must we do to be doing the work of God? And in the book of John, Jesus answered that question with these words, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Now that is good news indeed. You see, Jesus is the fulfillment of the commandments. He came to do what you and I could never do, to live a righteous life. He came to be the antidote to the problem that no one is righteous in the world, no, not one. He came to pay the blood price for the sins of the world. He died for you and for me. And He rose again on the third day so that all those who believe in Him, though they die, yet they shall live. This is the light that came into the dark world. This is the answer to the problem of guilt, our guilt, for whatever mistakes we have made, people we have hurt, promises and relationships that we have broken, the sins that we have committed. He died for that. And in rising on the third day, all who believe in Jesus and His work on the cross are raised to new life. This is the truth that sets us free. We are free from the chains of death, and we are free now. Free to live each day anew, free of the guilt and shame of whatever misdeeds and failures that used to be chained to our lives and our consciousness. And though we are still a work in progress, we know that whatever consequences of this fallen world still cling to our fallen bodies, they are finished too, and will be utterly destroyed on the day of the Lord's coming. So we give thanks to Him for this immeasurable gift, a gift beyond price and beyond the reach of all humanity. And we are humbled. But this day, this Thanksgiving day, we give thanks for that and all the other blessings that He bestows upon us. We thank Him for leaving nothing up to us. We thank Him for our salvation that was bought by Jesus' work and received by grace through faith. And that faith itself is given us through His word proclaimed, in which resides the Holy Spirit. And we can claim credit for nothing whatsoever. He lays before us a Christmas gift so precious that we could never purchase it. And He opens it up for us through His Holy Spirit, brought to us by His word. He makes sure that we can perceive it by wrapping it up in physical elements like the waters of holy baptism, in which we die with Him in a death like His, so that we may also rise again to new life in Him. Likewise, He gives us the bread and the wine, through which His very body and blood come to us in Holy Communion, so that we people of little faith can see, feel, taste, and smell the grace given to us, to you, and to me. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I give thanks for you, and I say both Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas. And in thankfulness to God, I joyously affirm that the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with you always. Amen.